It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. For theater lovers, November and December are a wonderful time. There are traveling productions and local productions all over the state. And now we're going to talk about a new play debuting in Iowa City during this season. It's called Zwicky's Heir, the story of a scientist desperate for discovery who nearly destroys the relationships and careers of those around him until he makes a new discovery in an unexpected place. The play was written by Ken Gailey, Associate Professor of Physics and Astronomy at the University of Iowa. It's a production of Combined Efforts Theater, a visual and performing arts company that features collaborations between artists with and without disabilities. Ken Gailey is here with me now. Hello, Ken.
Hello.
Thank you so much for being here.
My pleasure, Charity.
Janet Schlopkohl is also here, playwright and founder of Combined Efforts Theater. Hello, Janet.
Hello, Charity. Thank you for having us on today.
Welcome back to the show. And Janet, we've talked about Combined Efforts Theater in the past, but for those who aren't familiar, it's a unique theater company, a unique organization. As I mentioned, it's a collaboration between artists with and without disabilities. But tell me just a little bit more about how it works.
Well, it works in exactly what you just said. It's a collaborative effort. And we try to look at it as it's an inclusion where we include people that would be considered more neurotypical. So the inclusion sometimes sounds like privilege, who's reaching out to somebody else. And in our instance, we're reaching out to anybody who has an interest or passion for acting or performance. I say performance because we also have a dance company and we have a men's choir. We have a new group called Ulterior Motifs, which is a great title that I didn't invent, which is a musical ensemble for people who enjoy creating sounds in unusual ways. So, and that group is just launched this year.
And you first conceived of this idea. You were a special education teacher at City High School.
Right,
in Iowa
right
City,
here in Iowa City at City High School. And I was also the assistant drama teacher at that time with Doug Listina. And just seeing so many of my students come into the classroom, either singing or doing imitations of other teachers, which may have been unkind, but were spot on, I thought this just needs to be taken someplace, like to a stage. So the first show was an incredible experience because we had it in a smaller theater, about 120 people. And there were rows of people, lines of people stretched down the stairs and down the hallway, wanting to have that opportunity to see their children perform. So it's that white-knuckled experience that every parent deserves to go through.
So now, in the past, you have been the sole playwright for Combined Efforts Theater, at least for a time.
For a number of years, but recently we have a writing group taught by Jessica Wilson, who's a graduate of the nonfiction writing program here at the University of Iowa, and she's a really gifted writer, and this is how Ken got involved in the writing aspect. So he's part of that writing group. I forgot to mention we also have a writer's group. And Jessica wrote a play for us, and the group themselves have written a couple of our plays. And so now we're branching out because it isn't something that is novel. You just simply need to think about it a little bit and look for what people's skill sets are and write towards that company. And since Ken has been in several of our plays, he knows the company well. So I think his play is very skilled at highlighting some of our unique and special and fun talents, especially in the humor. We do humor well.
And Ken, I mean, as a physicist and an astronomer, where does writing plays fit into your life?
Yeah, well, an interesting question, because usually what I write are scientific papers, which are intended to be very concise and dry and to the point. And so literature is a different approach where you're trying to be a little more subtle and maybe some ambiguity and things that you wouldn't want at all in a scientific paper. But I think it's summed up in a line in the play, actually, where the astronomer character says that science and literature are diametrically opposed. And that is not my own opinion. In fact, quite the opposite. I think science and literature work best when they're in contact with each other. They complement each other quite well. So I think in my own life, the writing of this play represents my appreciation for the fact that just science and astronomy for its own sake isn't enough, that we want to see the larger picture, the aesthetic appeal of these things. And so I think marrying it with literature is a nice way to try to do that.
Has this been a surprise to you, this creative outlet?
Oh, certainly, because I think everyone has in their mind some idea that they might do something, might write something, a play or a book or whatever. But we expect we we'll never really get the opportunity to do it. So I'm beholden to Janet and to the whole writers group and Jessica Wilson for giving me that opportunity to actually make it a reality. And I have to say that I could never in a million years have done this as a rookie writer without an enormous amount of help, which I did have, especially from Janet. So I may be the official author of the play, but I had a huge help. And it would never have been nearly this good without that help.
I was his dramaturg. That's the nice. That's the word one uses.
Well, and give us a little bit of background. Zwicky's Heir. I gave the plot synopsis about a scientist desperate for discovery, but there's a lot more background here. So tell us about it.
Sure. So, you know, when Janet originally suggested I think of a play, she suggested, why don't you write something you know? So I figured, okay, I'll write about an astronomer. But if I write an autobiographical play about my area of astronomy, it's not going to have the same dramatic flair, let's say, than if I just make something up. So I went for an area of astronomy that's very different from my own, which is cosmology, the history of the universe. And right now we have a story of the history of the universe that has a lot of data that supports it. But it does have one unfortunate element, which is that it seems to suggest the universe will continue to expand forever. And after about 100 billion years, which seems like a long time, but nevertheless, after some long time, really not much is going to happen anymore. And it seems like an awful waste of time.
So as things spread out, planets become colder and...
Exactly. Exactly. So yeah, that story of the universe is an expanding story where things get colder and farther away. And if that goes on long enough, there's really not much more that can happen. And so that does seem like a bit of a waste of a universe to have it end like that. So I thought that there'd be a character in the play, an astronomer, who is unhappy with that. And he's also driven to discover something new. He doesn't like convention. He likes to break out of the mold. And there's a famous astronomer named Fritz Zwicky, who was a similar type. He was always coming up with great ideas that seemed crazy. They were so far outside the box. And a large fraction of the time, he ended up being right. And nobody knows how he was able to do this, because usually if you have one crazy idea that ends up being right, that's pretty impressive. And he had many. So he's the hero of this astronomer, and he wants to be like Fritz Zwicky. And so he tries to do that, but it turns out that it's not that easy. And he discovers along the way that he's got barriers in his own personality, the way he uses other people, and the people that he interacts with are the graduate students that he's working with and the administrator at the university. And so the story is really a personal story about how they interact against the backdrop of this new model that he's trying to create.
So taking academia and putting it on stage, a holiday production, with a diverse group of actors.
Right.
That's the plan. Sounds like really an incredible challenge. So as a writer and a relatively new playwright, how
yes.
did you write to the production and to the cast that you knew would be a part of this?
Well, as I said, I did that with a huge amount of help. For example, Jessica Wilson suggested, why don't you make the action in the play mirror the model of the universe? And I was, oh my gosh, of course. Terrific idea. Why didn't I think of that? So I've got that to guide me. I first have to come up with a new model of the universe, which isn't the easiest thing in the world to do. And I do just make this up, but I try to make it as plausible as possible. But anyway, and then once I have that, then I can let the action kind of mirror it in some way. So it guides the writing to have a model, an engine of a sort to kind of help you. And then Andrew Tubbs, who is our artistic director, suggested, well, why don't you let neurodiverse people in the play be an important way to move the story along? And that was a great idea. So
their neurodiversity becomes a plot element.
It becomes a plot element. There's a class in the play that is a community class, and it involves a lot of neurodiverse people who have different perspectives than the main astronomer. And since this whole thing is coming up with new ideas, this is an avenue that he hadn't really considered might be of value. So that's how that gets worked in. And then once I started thinking about how the characters might interact, I wanted there to be some tension. So there's a male astronomer and a female graduate student, and there's some gender issues that come up there. And so when I originally wrote it, I was a little bit like a bull in a china shop. I was just colliding things. Janet laughs because she saw the original version of the play. And I just colliding things almost willy-nilly, too much action, too much craziness going on, not well controlled. And so she helped enormously with bringing, reining me in, creating a focus that made the play work. And so the play now is infinitely different from what I originally wrote. But it involved all these elements. I'm getting help from all these different people associated with combined efforts. And I knew that I would get that. I knew that I wasn't going to have to write this play in a vacuum. And so that's why it worked.
Well, and do you find that having written the play, that it is sort of an ever-changing thing? It's a living thing now that you're working with actors and putting it on stage.
Absolutely. And in fact, we've done some script revisions after casting it, because both Janet and I could hear the voices of the people that would be saying these lines, and we realized this would be a really funny line to put in here in that person's voice. And so we did make some final modifications to it. And that's one of the ways where the combined efforts element, it really comes to the fore, where we have actors who have all different approaches, all different interpretations, and because we've worked with them, we understand where they're coming from and what they're going to add to the play. And so it makes the play better to bring this in. And it gives us ideas of humorous things to do, and hopefully occasionally some touching things as well.
Well, and I can imagine, for people who haven't really seen the magic of a combined efforts production, that some people might be skeptical and say, how can a production work in this way? And Janet, for people who haven't seen it, can you give us some insight into how this works and how it actually makes the production better to have a neurodiverse cast?
Well, I think there's a couple of things that I'll touch upon. Ken talked about the language and the action being scientific. And what I discovered reading it, and Jessica as well, was that science is a wonderful metaphor. A lot of the things they're talking about, ending up isolated and alone, increasing our distance from each other, these are literary metaphors, and his play was full of it. The language itself, when it's going through some of the more technical astronomy or physics jargon or language, almost becomes poetic also at a point. You sort of lose yourself in, do I need to make sense of all of this? Do I need to understand this redshift, or can I just let the words wash over me? And I was having a conversation with this set designer, and we were talking about how you have to be so fluid and you have to look at things differently and shift how your perception is. And I think that is the key to success in the combined efforts production, is your perception, the entire audience's perception shifts immediately, and you realize, oh, this is a safe place for me to be. I'm not wincing. I'm not feeling uncomfortable. I'm not worried about the actors. My perception of what I've expected people to do here is entirely different based on what I'm seeing and hearing. And that's something that you really can't tell somebody until they experience it. And our director experienced it for the first time on Thursday evening when he worked with the larger group of people. And somebody else commented he was laughing, and he looked around and raised his eyebrows like, oh my goodness, I had no idea. So I think you should come, right? They should definitely just come and see the show.
You were talking, Ken, about how the play shifts and has shifted a little bit because of the actors who are cast. So that's part of the process as well, adapting the play to the actor's strengths, right?
Right. And Ken touched upon something that was really, when he said a bull in a china shop, I laughed, because one of the issues that he's tackling and grappling with in the play, which is an incredibly important issue right now, he's quietly said gender politics or women in science. And that is a huge part of this play as far as emotional moments that really resonate and that I know I definitely reacted to in reading it. And it's a good reaction, though. You know, you need to have that reaction so that you're going to have a conversation afterwards, like in the lobby. I think at one point when reading it, I didn't feel the repercussions were enough, and I said, that's great. I just hope you have a bodyguard when you leave the theater because the women will be after you. That was maybe one of my less gracious critiques.
Yes, fortunately, we have a great relationship, so Janet knows that we both just want this play to be as good as possible, so I never took anything personally. And hopefully the need for the bodyguard has been greatly mitigated by the input Janet gave me to improve the play.
I think we should let it stand so that people will be really intrigued and want to know why you might need a bodyguard.
Yes, that's true. We'll leave it at that.
So, Janet, have you had other people with similar visions coming to you and asking you to help them start organizations like Combined Efforts? Have these plays traveled?
We've had some of the plays travel, or at least sections of them travel, not terribly far. Cedar Rapids, I think, was about the furthest. But, you know, I haven't. However, this spring, for the first time, I get to teach a course at the University of Iowa that specifically addresses how to look at some of these issues, how to include people, and not just in theater, but basically the premise behind inclusion, or having people be allowed to inhabit other spaces than what we're used to seeing them in, is the same for whether you're having somebody perform or you're simply having somebody working next to you in a coffee shop or something. It's kind of the same idea, what your expectation is and what your perception is. So I haven't had anybody knocking down my door saying, oh, please. But I think that this class was a great opportunity that I'll be teaching at the university. And the thing is, somebody like Ken, who's already been in a show and is just a person who's an open thinker, I think once you are just willing to let go of some of the structure and the rules that you have placed in front of you, you're open to ideas like this. And Ken already had that in place before. And to be honest, we asked him to write the play. We knew of his work from the writing group. So we said, will you do our winter show for us? I don't think he yet regrets it. I think he's pleased. No, so,
And it's going to be performed December 14th through the 16th at the Johnson County Fairgrounds in Iowa City. So you are less than a month out from this production. How are you feeling?
Well, I've seen some of the rehearsals. We have a terrific director. We have great
Matt Falduto actors. Is our director.
That's right. Matt Falduto is doing a terrific job. We've got great people in the show. I have no worries at all. I think it's going to be great. I really do.
Well, and I sense from just picking up from what you've been talking about, it's kind of changed your perceptions about what's possible for you as well as what's possible generally.
Yeah, that's true. And it's interesting because in a way there is a parallel between that and the science of the play, because in the science of the play, it's about the universe maybe having a different future from what we all thought in the past. So the play is all about shifting perspectives about the universe, about interpersonal interactions, and maybe even about the relationship between science and literature. So I'm still a professional astronomer and an amateur writer, but it was a great experience.
You're not going to quit your day job.
I'm not going to quit my day job. That's right.
Well, Ken and Janet, thank you both so much.
Thank you so much for having us.
Thank you.
Ken Gailey, Associate Professor of Physics and Astronomy at the University of Iowa, now a playwright, and Janet Schlopkohl, playwright and founder of Combined Efforts Theater. Zwicky's Air will be performed December 14th through the 16th at the Johnson County Fairgrounds in Iowa City. This is Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbie.